I want all the blessing that God has for me. Amen. All of it. As I said, week one, where we studied obedience, which we said is the path to God's blessing. And today we're going to study humility, the place of God's blessing. That's foundational. And then next week we're going to do knowledge, understanding God's blessing. And then utilizing God's blessing or using what God has given you. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Some people get impatient. They can't wait. They have no patience. They want everything now. But the scripture says what? In due time. In due time. If you look at all the great Bible characters, they didn't really want the job they ended up with. Moses, for sure, right? Lord, he started making excuses. The Bible says about Moses that he was the meekest man that ever lived. Meekness is another antonym. Synonym is when it sounds, it's the same thing, but sorry, synonym, I should say, for humility, meekness. Antonym is the opposite. But it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God chose Moses for a really terrible job. How would you like to lead 2 million people? I don't even like leading a few people. I shouldn't say that, but it's the truth. Because everyone has their own opinion, right? Everyone has their own direction. It needed someone with special grace and humility to lead 2 million people who just came out of slavery and have got 2 million different directions they want to go in. And so God chose him, I think, especially because he was meek and he needed a whole bunch of grace. And I think that many of the things that God has called us to, we may not even have realized that that was our calling, because it wouldn't be something we wanted to do. It wouldn't be something we really wanted to do, because it's not necessarily something where you're going to get, you know, a whole bunch of praise or money or something. You know, God's work takes meekness. It takes grace. And you can see that in Moses' life. I didn't put him as an example, but I'm just speaking it as an example. You see, so many times his humility was tested. They said, listen, God speaks to us just like you. We don't really need you to tell us what God says. And if you saw how many times he could have said when they rebelled, all right, God, just do away with them. God was about to do away with them. But he was the intercessor, even when that they came against him. And the key with God is humility. As I said, it's the place of God's blessing. Obedience is the path to get there. But once you're there, you have to be humble. And you have to be willing to wait. To wait on whatever it is God is going to give you. And sometimes it doesn't come the way we expect it. It doesn't come instantaneously sometimes. Well, let's go on. I thought this was a good quote. Now, St. Augustine, it was a Roman Catholic theologian in the 4th or 5th century, and he's one of the foundational theologians of the Roman Catholic Church. And not everything he said was great, but some of the things he said was pretty profound. And so I thought I would quote this. He says, humility is the foundation of all other virtues. Hence, in the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue except in appearance. You know, it's kind of written in an old English form. But what he's saying, if you don't have humility, you're not going to get anything else. Except you may look like you're humble, but you've got nothing else. And the thing about humility and pride, they're the two things, especially humility, that you can't know you are. Right? You can't say, I'm humble. The moment you say that, you're not. So humility is not one of those things that you can perceive about yourself. Similarly, I've said that pride is the very worst sin, Anyone remember why? My personal opinion, pride is the very worst sin. Why? Philip? Okay, someone else. I heard someone else say, why do you think pride is the worst sin? Or why do I think pride is the worst sin? Okay, yeah, so it's a form of idolatry too? Right, my main reason why I think pride is the worst sin, because if you're a liar, one hopes you know that you lied, right? If you steal, one hopes you understood that you stole something. But if you're proud, just like when you're humble, it's something you may not know you have. And therefore, you don't even try to curtail it. So pride can get in there so subtly, so subtly. And that's why I've said that just like a virus or when we have a sickness or virus, yeah, they give you an inoculation, right? When you can get inoculated every year, they have Walgreens sets up flu shots to inoculate you so that you don't get the virus. Now, to get the inoculations, a little bit painful sometimes, right? Maybe they can't find the right spot and have to go many times. So the inoculation for pride is God humbling us. That's what happened to Paul, right? In 2 Corinthians, he said, because of the surpassing great revelations, chapter 12, I think, of 2 Corinthians, said, because of the great revelations, there was given me what? A thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. And it's amazing. It doesn't have to be something big. Just a tiny little thing. Last night, I got that old wooden ladder out to change the bulb out there. And that ladder is so old that almost anywhere you grab it, something is going to stick you. So last night, I was putting the ladder up and, I got a little thorn in the flesh. Tiny little sliver. And I tried getting it out with my thumb and it wouldn't go and I couldn't see. And I dealt with it all evening until just before I was going to bed. I said, you know what, I got to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. And you see, sometimes God gives us things to keep us humble. To keep us humble, because it is the foundation of any blessing from God. Amen. Let's go on. Here's another definition of humility. A lowering of oneself in relation to others. A state or the act of being humble. A freedom of pride and arrogance. And having a modest opinion or estimate of one's own worth. Here's a definition that this famous modern-day theologian C.S. Lewis wrote, and I really liked it. It said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Think about that. It's not necessarily putting yourself down, but it's really thinking about others. You understand the difference? It's not being depressed because you're not this or that or the other. It's again, not looking inward, but looking at others and thinking about their needs. So I think that's a great definition. And if we look at Jesus Christ, he said, I came not to be served, not to minister, to be ministered to, but to do what? To minister. And so that is the definition, I think, a biblical definition of humility is to serve others. It's not about, saying bad stuff about yourself. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. As he put it here, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. That's pretty deep, isn't it? That's pretty deep. And now here are some words that are synonyms, that are similar in meaning. Modesty, humbleness, meekness, diffidence. There's a big word. It means not thinking of yourself so much. Unassertiveness, lack of pride, lack of vanity, servility, submissiveness. Those are all words you can look up in the dictionary that they would call synonyms that are near to the same meaning or are used similarly. So, but I just really like that definition. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. So you don't have to beat yourself. You can't make yourself humble by saying, well, I'm not as talented as this person. That's not humility. It's thinking less of yourself and thinking about how can you help others. Amen. Anyone else have another definition that they've heard of humility? Philip? Well, I don't know. I think that would be more of a punishment, wouldn't it? Okay. What are some opposites, or Sister Jeanette? Gracious, okay, that's close. Really, it's spiritual. I think it's spiritual strength. Because if you think of Moses, after these people try to kill him, stone him, he could have just said, God, do away with them. It must have taken some real strength. And you can see he cared for them. Absolutely, that's what it is. It is thinking of yourself less, not thinking less of yourself necessarily. Okay, what are some opposite words to humility? Pride, selfishness, haughtiness, arrogance, conceit, yes. Okay. Self-absorbed. You see, pride is inward pointing, okay? Humility is outward. Well, I guess it'd be close. Stubbornness usually is associated with pride, you know, especially us men. Years ago when we didn't have GPS, didn't want to stop and ask people for directions till we got really lost. All right. Here's another definition. The humble man makes room for progress. The proud man believes he's already there. Part of humility is being able to learn, teachability. If you think you've got it all, you certainly are not humble. The humble man makes room for progress. The proud man believes he's already there. Years ago, I used to write songs. I haven't written a song since 2005, but I used to write songs. And I used to have a student. I used to put out songs and used to be in a gospel group and do sound and all that stuff. But here's the thing. People would say, well, have you copyrighted your songs? And I would say, well, I'm not worried because that's not my last song. You know what I'm saying is, if you have something that God has given you, nobody can really take it from you. You don't have to worry about it, you know. So I didn't really try and copyright any songs or anything like that because, you know, it wasn't my song anyway. It wasn't my song anyway. Here's another definition for pride. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. You know, I got to be the last voice. I got to put you down. I got to be the one that everyone sees and hears last. If there's something going on, I have to be in the center of it. Right? So pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with is what is right. There's another definition. I said that humility is the place of God's blessing. That's the foundation. Proverbs 22:4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Didn't put this in the lesson either, but when God came to Solomon and said to him, you know, ask me whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. Does anyone remember what Solomon said? Yes, but why did he ask for wisdom? There was a reason he asked for wisdom. Exactly, he said, I can't be king. I can't be ruler over all of Israel. I just don't know what to do. There was a reason he asked for wisdom. It wasn't just he thought, okay, I want to be wise. The reason why he asked God for wisdom was he looked at the task and said, there's no way I can really rule this people. I don't know what to do. Yes, I was born in the king's house, and you know, by rights, maybe people assume I know what to do. But I don't know what to do. He humbled himself. I don't even think it was just the fact that he asked for wisdom. It was the reason why he asked for wisdom, which was he was at the place of humility. He humbled himself, if you read it, and he says, God, you've given me, I've come into this task, and this is your people. This is your people, Israel. You'll see that when he dedicated the temple, again, this is the beginning of his reign, he was humble. He said, I know I built this great edifice for you, probably the most spectacular building man has ever built. But he humbled himself. But I know that this is nothing. You can't, can God dwell in a place made by man? He humbled himself. And again, it's a place of humility. That's why God responded with one of the greatest promises in Scripture. Anyone know when Solomon prayed, what was the answer? 2 Chronicles. Right. That's why God responds to humility. He does not respond positively anyway to pride. We see that when we contrast Saul with Solomon or David. When Samuel didn't come when Saul wanted him to, he went ahead and tried to be the priest. And then when Samuel did come, he said, honor me before the people. Let's put on a face. Let's go on like nothing's, you know, let me be king. And you contrast that with David and even Solomon at the beginning part of his reign. Humility is the place where God can start to bless you. He will never bless anyone who is always inward looking and never thinking about others. As Christians, our thoughts should be, how can we serve someone else? Wouldn't it be great if Monday morning you woke up and said, how can I bless someone else? Now that may be just a prayer. It may just be a phone call and say, how are you doing? I didn't see you at church. Can I pray for you? It's not money necessarily, but it's just the fact that you want to serve someone else. The pastor can't do it all. I can't call every single body who I see missing. Else I'd be on the phone hours a day. Right? Hours a day I'd be on the phone. Because a lot of people, when I do call, they don't want a short conversation. Many times I look at my phone and it's 1 hour, 15 minutes with certain people. That's okay. That's okay. God, if we get to the place of humility, watch what God will do for you. You won't even have to ask. The reason why Solomon asked for wisdom was not because he wanted to be wise, but because he looked at what he needed to do. We should emulate Solomon. I do. I pray God. I say, God, I'm not smart enough really to be pastor. I'm not. I'm not smart enough even for my secular job. You've heard me say that many times. I'm not. And, you know, my boss, when he came in and told me I was going to get a raise, and I said, well, you know, if you give me nothing, before he said anything, I said, if you give me nothing, that's fine with me. I don't, again, I say the wrong thing. I said, I don't deserve it. So he said to me, well, that's because you're a Christian. So I said, but you see, when you come before God with the right attitude, he will open every door. He will knock down every wall. He will deliver you. Amen. By humility and the fear of the Lord. It says the fear, that's 16th century King James English, but what does that really mean? I wasn't really afraid of my father, unless I'd done something wrong when I was small, but I wasn't afraid of him because I could come to him. It really means reverence. Reverence. So by the humility and the reverence of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Luke 14:11 says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Once we understand the true definition of humility, that it's really outward looking to try and serve someone else, God is going to open some doors for us. Amen. Why should we be humble? Apart from the Bible, I mean, why should we be humble? Amen. Amen. That's a good reason. There's many reasons why we should be humble. I'm just going to give you one. And the reason is, we can't control anything. If Solomon, who was an absolute ruler, that means he could say, do this, do that, come here, and it would be obeyed, felt he didn't have enough control or wisdom to do that and had to ask God, who are we? The reason is, one of the reasons we should be humble is that we don't control anything. Who are we to start mouthing off and telling God stuff and puffing up our chest? James 4:13 says this, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You know, we make plans, but we can't bring them to pass. To be honest with you, I can honestly tell you I don't have long-range plans. If they were to ask me, you know, every year they do a job thing and they say, well, what's your goal? Where will you want to be? I have a hard time with that because I don't have any ambition. That's maybe a bad thing to say, but I don't have any. I'm not trying to be anything at work. I don't want to be anything at work. That's not my ambition. I'm not in control of that. I'm hoping God will take full control of that. See, one of the reasons we should be humble is we do not control everything. There's some things, some choices we do have, but a lot of stuff is out of our control. We would like to. We'd love to be able to tell our kids to do exactly this and only this, and they do it. But you know, once they get to a certain age, you don't have any control. Verse 14 of James says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth. Compared to God, we're nothing. That's why we need to have an attitude of humility for the blessing to come. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James is saying, don't be strutting and saying, I'm going to do this and this, because you cannot actually make that happen. See, I planned to be here this morning at 8:30, but I forgot about the snow. And then I went out. The van had just tons of snow. I don't know why I forgot about the snow, but I did. I should have gotten out early. And so I had to do a lot of scraping and brushing, and I didn't get here exactly when I wanted to. I had planned to, but you see, I don't have control. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So that's one of the reasons why we should be humble. Sister Pam gave one. Anyone else? What's another reason we should be humble? Sister Jeanette. Amen. That is so true. I have so much more given to me than I actually deserve or merit, Sister Sunita. Well, there's lots of people that wash feet. I'm not anything as far as that goes, but that's why we do it, is as a symbol of humility one towards another. That's what it's all about, Sister Tamika. Absolutely. That's another reason we should be humble, because, you know, we know so little about really what's going on. We think we got it worked out. But if we had God's perspective, we'd be so shocked much of the time. Philip? Okay, yes. We need to be humble. And the reason, if you want to sum it up, is in the title. It's the place of God's blessing. Obedience gets you to the start. But if you want to go any further, you need to be humble. The Bible says that if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But he that abaseth himself. And how do you abase yourself? How did Jesus abase himself? He went around serving others. Do you understand how you gain humility? It's not by, as I said, bad-mouthing yourself or saying, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. We do that, but that's really not being humble. True humility is looking to serve other people. Sister Johnny? Amen, amen. There was a lady at the church in Benton Harbor, Michigan, that we were, Sister Ruth. And she was an old lady, older lady, you know, I don't know, in her 80s maybe. And she, you know, she had issues. And I remember, I think, the pastor going over to her, he would say from the pulpit, after she had died, he confessed all of this, that, you know, he didn't really want to go over to her house. And when she came to church, you know, people would avoid sitting next to her or close to her. But he did go to her house and, you know, was describing what it was like, but how they went in and cleaned it. She had a lot of animals and cats and all kinds of chickens, I don't know. But it wasn't very wholesome. And how he went in and helped clean it up and all of that. And there's the couple that my wife had a dream about this morning, and I've told you about them before, brother and sister Etheridge. And when we had our fire, you know, and the house was pretty much destroyed, and by the time, you know, it was probably like now getting late, like 10 o'clock dark, and the crowds are gone, because it was quite a big fire. Probably had 200 people and all of that out in the street and the newspaper and all of that. Anyway, the only people left now is my family and the insurance inspector and Brother Allen, who had a house at the end of the block. And he came up to me and he said, you know, I'd like to help. I'd like to help you rebuild. I'd like to, I'll be your construction manager, if you like. Now, he and his wife, you wouldn't know it to look at them, and I'm just guessing, because they never told me this, but I'm just guessing that they're multimillionaires. But you would never, never know it. You would never know it from the way they live or how they act. You know, they owned a nursing home. They owned like 45 different houses. And he came up to me and said, I would like to help. I'd like to be your general contractor. I said, no, he asked me, what do you want to do? I said, well, I think I'm going to try and rebuild the house. And he said, well, I'd like to help. And, you know, God placed him there because we would have had great difficulty rebuilding the house without his help. And he fronted $30,000, $40,000 up front, way before the insurance even kicked in to start the process. And I remember one day we came to the house, and they had just put in the floors, and there was his wife on the floor scrubbing the floors. You know, she had a whole staff of people. She could have had 20 people there. She herself was on our floors scrubbing our floors. We didn't have all the, we were waiting for the insurance money to put in the cabinets and all of that. And so she said, well, what are you waiting for? I said, well, we don't have the money yet because the insurance is still going to take. So she said, well, just go ahead and order it. Just go ahead and order it. You know, that's an example of service. And it wasn't to make themselves special, because if you met them, you could not point them out. They don't drive fancy cars or anything special that you would know. But it was just an attitude. And I believe that's why they're blessed. Because they've used their blessing not for themselves, but they've helped so many other people. The last week we're going to talk about using blessings, so I won't go there. But one of the reasons we said we should be humble is because we don't control everything. There's some things we do control. We control our attitude, right? I've seen that your happiness should be determined by you, not other people. Now, that's a hard thing to get up in the morning and say, okay, I am going to be happy. Anyone ever tried that? Just said, Monday morning, tell yourself, I am going to be happy. How would that work? We should try that. Because you know, as soon as you say that, someone, probably someone you love, someone close is going to say or do something to upset you. Amen. All right, let's go on. Absolutely. Amen. 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 See, that's what it says. Luke 12:25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least. Did you see what God says? If I wanted to, I could make you grow another foot. That would be nothing to me. Do that thing which is least. Why take ye thought for the rest? So we have no reason, no basis to be proud and stuck up. Let's look at an actual example in Scripture. Luke 18:9. This is Jesus. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in. Look at this. Again, you start to get that pride is trusting in yourself. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Think about it. Think about it. You know, there's lots of us that do that. We just don't speak it. Maybe laughing, but there's lots of us when we see people come in church. We've thought it. Let's be honest. Look at that hot mess. Come on now. Hasn't someone walked in church sometime you thought about these things? You may not have expressed it quite that way. God have mercy upon us sometimes. Jesus was just giving what was maybe going into his mind. Maybe he didn't actually speak this out, but God was revealing what was inside his heart. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That's the lowest of the low. They were the social outcasts for the Jews who really believed themselves to be God's chosen people. You couldn't go higher than being a religious Pharisee or a Sadducee. Then he went to list all the stuff that he did. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. It's not by works, lest any man should what? Boast. See, here we're really seeing what the difference between pride and humility. Pride is always about what's in here and focusing inward. And the publican standing far off. Here's humility. Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven and smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus went on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, and here's the scripture, that exalteth himself shall be abased. I preached a message once and it said, you can bow down now or fall down later. Right? You either bow down now or you're going to fall down later. Sister Tara? That's Luke chapter 18 from verse 9 to verse 14. So Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself. You see, when we pray prideful prayers and try and give God the list of stuff we've done, he's not impressed. He's not impressed. Because anything we've done, it's just works that the Bible says that were prepared aforehand for us to do. Good works that were prepared for us to do. Jesus said, it was the publican who was justified before God. And if you want to abase yourself, you can't do it, as I've said before, by talking bad about yourself. It's by serving others. Now, if God loves you, and I'm sure he does, and you've got pride, what is he going to do? He's going to resist you if you won't be humbled. But if God loves you, he's going to do what he did to Paul. Which means there's going to be some thorns. Do you understand that? That God wants you to get to a place of blessing. Therefore, he's going to give you some things to make you humble. You're going to have to end up serving someone. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't want to. God is going to put you in a situation where, because he loves you and he wants to bring you to that place of blessing, where you're going to end up having to serve someone. You're going to have to wash someone's feet. Deuteronomy 8:3, here he tells Israel, and he humbled thee, God will humble you, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. See, God will humble you if he loves you, because he does, he's going to bring things to bring you down so that he can raise you up. Sometimes we do not learn. They say that good judgment comes from bad experience. We don't really understand what someone else has been through until God takes us through that. Then we can really empathize with them. We can really understand where they've gone because that you've walked in their shoes. If you've never really been hungry or scrambling to find a coat or a suit without any holes or something like that, maybe you don't quite understand what someone else is going through. Deuteronomy, God brought them through a wilderness experience before he could bring them to the promised land, before the blessing, they had to go through a time of humility. He fed thee with manna. They couldn't feed themselves, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word. This was the chapter and verse that Jesus quoted in the book of Luke. This is what he quoted to the devil, was from Deuteronomy 8:3. God wants to humble us so that he can exalt us. He sometimes wants to take us through a place where he has to give us a thorn in the flesh. Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure because of the great surpassing revelations. God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Well, I can tell you God has given me several. Several thorns in the flesh. God doesn't want us to be big-headed. And you may pray for God to remove it, but it may be that God says this, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. To be humble, you're going to have to show some weakness. To humble yourself, at least from man's perspective, man, why doesn't he say something? Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he fight back? You know, from man's perspective, you're being weak, but for God, from God's perspective, he's letting his power and strength and wisdom and grace dwell upon you. Man looks at it as, man, they're a wimp. If that was me, I would have given her what for, or I'd given him what for. Jesus, when he went to John the Baptist, he said, suffer it to be so, because it becometh all righteousness. John said, listen, I'm not worthy to be baptizing you. I'm not even worthy to unlace your shoe. But Jesus said, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords humbled himself as an example. As an example. You know, he went to the lepers. Everybody else, I'm sure, was running away because they had a bell and they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean. But he humbled himself. He came to serve. See, so trials are those thorns in the flesh. It's a new way of looking at your trial. Say, Lord, thank you. You're giving me a shot. This is to prevent me later on from getting the disease of pride. Look at this great Rehoboth that I have built. Brother Jesse. Amen. That's such a good point. That's such a good point. He got the blessing, but there was a reminder in his life. There was a reminder in his life. And again, Paul prayed three times and God said, no. You can live with this. It won't kill you. It won't. In fact, it's good for you, Paul. Because of all the great things I've revealed, you might have gotten a little bit big-headed and said, you know what? I'm above all the others. I don't really need to deal. But you see, Paul, when he went to Acts, the book of Acts in 12, when he went to the council, he humbled himself. He said, I became as what? All men that I, through Christ, may win some. Is that how we are? Or, man, she's a Catholic. I don't need to deal with them. Or they're Lutheran. They really don't have, we don't say it, but we're thinking it. They don't have much truth, so we dismiss them, right? They're a soul that God loves. If our actions preach louder than our words, you see, we would be able to reach some of these people. Let's go on. As I said, Jesus is our prime example. Here's what the book of Philippians says. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's the example. First, you have to humble yourself. Wherefore, God also hath what? Highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Do you know there's going to be some rewards? Your serving God is not just getting to heaven, but there's heaven plus rewards. The Bible says that we must all appear at the judgment, the Bema seat. And that's not a judgment seat of condemnation. There's going to be a prize giving. And I've done a whole lesson upon the five crowns. Crown of glory. There's five crowns that are going to be given plus many other things. Do you know what you've done for Christ is not lost. It's an investment. I'm investing in my heavenly 401k. If the stock market crashes tomorrow, I'm not going to lose anything, or at least not much. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. See, Jesus was our perfect example for how you get blessed. He was obedient. He humbled himself to death. You know, the disciples say, you don't have to do this. He says, yes, I do. Told Peter, put up your sword. Don't you understand, Peter? If I were to pray the Father, I could get 12 legions of angels right now. I could get 12 legions of angels. I'm doing this because I came to serve. This week, think of one way of serving somebody else. Can you think of some way? You don't have to say it. Can you think of someone who you could serve this week? You know what you'd be doing? You'd be humbling yourselves. Something that you don't have to do, but you're going to do it anyway. You want to get to the place of blessing? I want to say this tastefully. How can I put this without, I'm trying to put it in a, my wife and I don't have a lot of money, but a lot of money flows through us. It doesn't park. It doesn't park. But you know, I'm not worried about it because it's not a lake. It's a flow. And God's the one controlling the spigot. You know, he's the one that has extended the scepter. I wouldn't be here anyway, so why worry about stuff now? Why worry about finances now when it's totally his control anyway? After all these years, why should I start now starting to worry and say, well, okay, bank account doesn't look like it's got much in it. But you know what? He give us daily bread. Daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Really, that's all we were taught to pray, wasn't it? After this manner, pray. Amen. But first, to get to the place of blessing, you have to humble yourself. And you do that not by putting yourself down, but by serving others. Amen. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The two sons of Zebedee, their mother came to Jesus and said, listen, we want you to let our son sit on your left and on your right. And Jesus said, well, you know, that's not for me in the flesh anyway to give. It's reserved for whomsoever it's appointed. But he went on to say, but can they drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? You want to be exalted and you want all this. Can you drink from Jesus' cup? Are you ready to go through the trial first? Are you ready to go through the whipping, to have the crown of thorns? Are you ready for that? You want the resurrection glory and the accolades, but are you ready to go through the crucifixion first? True, Philip. Amen. Amen. It's funny how God has made, you know, what we call a symbol of beauty, a rose, have thorns all over it. Amen. Amen. I think that what Sister Audrey said is so true, that we can still do stuff, but with a bad heart. With a bad heart. In my flesh, sometimes I get tired of helping people. Confession. Right? There was a man who walked in here last Sunday, and I had him all typed out, okay? And in my flesh, I don't really want to. He's just using us, you know? But then I remembered the scripture that if anyone asks, have to give. So I said to him, well, I didn't have what he wanted, but I said, I'll give you what I have. And I said, we'll get a box for you of food. And I said, but I can't do it until after the service, because I wanted him to stay in the service. Of course, he was getting up and down and wanting to go because he just wanted the stuff. He just wanted the stuff. But the point I'm making is this. Sometimes we give, but not with the right attitude. And in that case, we also lose the blessing. We have to do it as unto the Lord. And I had to really think about, you know, I said, you know, I really could have done with that, whatever it was I had in my wallet, because it was empty. But I said, really, I'm not giving to him. Okay, he may not be doing what he's supposed to with it, but I'm doing this as unto the Lord. And if we can get that in mind, we will get the blessing. We will get the blessing. We will get the blessing. Amen. I've told this story before, but some years ago when we were in Bent Harbor, we were going somewhere, and we came up to this big a dollar store? And my wife was going, and I saw this lady, hobo-looking lady, buy a big 55-gallon drum down on one end of the store. So, of course, being the Pharisee that I am, I drove to the other end. Because I didn't want her to come and start panhandling me, you know. That was my flesh. So she was down way down there. I said, okay, I'm going to drive way down here. Of course, it was empty. I could have driven down there, but I was trying to avoid her. So I went way to the other end. And I was sitting there, and as you know in this story, I saw her digging around in the dumpster, in the trash can, and I saw her pull out something and dust it off and start eating it, and the Lord just hit me in my heart. The Lord hit me in my heart. So I turned on the car and I drove down there. And she knew that I'd seen her. And she came up and she said, she was defensive. She said, "Well, I'm hungry." Because she knew I'd seen her, you know. And I only had a $20 bill in it, so I rolled it up and I said, "Here." And she thought it was like, I guess she thought it was $1 or $2 or so. And so then I drove back to the door where my wife was coming out. And I saw in the mirror, she raised her hand and start thanking God. See, we are called not to serve the people, but God is going to say to us, "I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked." You know, we can look at people and we can judge them and we can see the situation they're in. And maybe the little good we do only lasts them a little bit, but God is writing it down. Humility is the place of blessing. See, God was teaching me a lesson there. See, because I had already said, "No, I'm not going to help her. I don't want to help her. I don't want nothing to do with her." But God showed me in that lesson, and I've never forgotten it, that if you have to give, you're giving as unto the Lord, because he's going to say, "I was in prison, and you never visited me." And you're going to say, "But Lord, I didn't see you in prison." He says, "If you've done it to the least of these, the least of these." Humility is the place of blessing. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." What is grace? Unmerited favor. Don't worry about the pipes. Scaring the devil. Someone had their hand up. Unmerited favor. Do you understand? The more humble you are, the more mercy you're going to get. The more blessing you're going to get. The more favor you're going to get. God is going to say, "You know what? This person hasn't stuffed out their chest and claimed their, you know, the great prophet Ezekiel come back to life. They're not claiming they have all the five gifts and all spiritual wisdom. Therefore, I'm going to give it to them." Right? Because he said, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." 2 Chronicles 7:14, of course, is the answer to the question that Solomon prayed when he first came to the throne, when he said, "Would God that your people get in trouble, if they backslide, if they turn around, if they are not seeking you, but if they come to their senses and they turn towards Jerusalem and they pray and seek your face, that you would hear from heaven and forgive." And you can read his great prayer in Chronicles at the dedication of the temple. And then, of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is God's reply, because he saw humility. "If my people, which are called by my name," if you could stand with me, "shall humble themselves," that means serve somebody, "and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land." The difference between David and Saul is one word: humility. Saul did much worse things on the face of it than David. Sorry, I mean, David did much worse things than Saul did on the face of it. David had someone murdered, committed adultery, did all kinds of things. But when he was confronted with his sin, he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Because God loves us, he's going to give you some thorns in the flesh. Because he wants to get you to the place of blessing. The place where you're not thinking so much about yourself, but you're thinking about others. And the moment you start thinking about others, guess what God will do? He'll fix the things that are wrong with you. He will. Deuteronomy said that he humbled them and taught them. He took them in a wilderness place so that they would learn that man doesn't live by what you can do, what you can get for yourself, but man really lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Humility, the place of blessing. I'm telling you that once we get to that place, God can just bring a flow. Not that you are rich, but you never lack. That you never lack. God showed that with the widow and Elijah. He said she had to humble herself. Do you realize that? Who are you? I don't know you from Adam. You come here showing up and saying I'm supposed to feed you? Do you understand? She humbled herself by serving someone else. And every time she did that for the 3.5 years of the famine, the Bible said her barrel was never empty. Maybe she never had a full barrel, but she always had the daily bread. For 3.5 years, God provided. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen. And that's why, you see, you know, that couple that I'm telling you right now, that's why I think God blesses them, because you would never know. They're not trying to make it an issue. They just serve other people. Sister Johnny. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to say one more thing. When the woman was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus, you notice Jesus really didn't interrogate her. No, he dealt with the now. Okay, yes, we've made many mistakes. We've all made mistakes. All have fallen short. But he dealt with the now. He didn't say anything else about, well, you know, let me judge you to see whether I'm going to forgive you or not. He just said, woman, where are thou thine accusers? See, God is willing to deal with you right where you are now. Amen. I've been blessed, as I said, I've only now preached 2 funerals since I've been pastor. And I've almost said the same thing at both of them. And what I really say is that funerals are not really for the person who's gone. It's for the people who are here. And I said, you know, your book of life is not finished. And it doesn't matter how the story went up to now. But you, tomorrow, can turn over a blank page. You get to write how the rest of that book finishes. And it can end, and they lived happily ever after with Jesus. Amen. You just believe and understand that God deals with you where you are right now. And he can change. He can deliver you. He can give you, as he said in Jeremiah, an expected outcome. Amen. I'm trying to finish. We're going to close in prayer. Amen. But just believe this. Humility is about thinking less about ourselves and serving others. Humility, when God wants to give you that blessing, is going to take you through some trials so that he will make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, what you can make, what you can cook, what you can earn, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Oh God, you are so awesome. We cannot even put it into words. Oh God, for your mercy, oh God, that is from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to fix whatever is wrong with our hearts. Lord, if we are not humble, Lord, bring us to that place of blessing. Bring us to that place of worship. Give us a right attitude, oh God. Lord, that you can use us. We humble ourselves today, oh God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Continue to work in our church, oh God, and give us an expected outcome. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 He's an awesome God. Humility is the place of blessing. Meditate. Find someone this week you can serve who you don't have to do anything for. And see what God will do. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We will start our mid-morning service about 5:15. I believe God has got a double portion for us. Amen.
God bless you.